Hey, well, again, good morning and welcome to LifePoint Church. Thanks so much for being a part of our services today. My name is Mike Burnett and I get to serve here as lead pastor. If you're a guest with us today, we say welcome again to you and thank you so much for being a part of our service. Also, everyone joining us online through our live stream, our podcast, our Facebook Live or our app, however you got here, we just love being one church in many places. Actually, more people tune in than actually sit in our churches now. And so we're just so grateful for you. We do want to invite you, if you live close, come on in and take up another seat. We'd love to meet you and connect with you. Our Christmas Sunday, December 23rd, we're doing four services in our regular scheduled time. But I want to tell you, everybody, bring somebody. It's going to be a very special day on December 23rd. You will not want to miss that big Sunday that we have. And then, of course, Christmas is on a Tuesday this year, so you'll have plenty of time to get to where you're going and do what you're doing. But be with us on Sunday, December 23rd, especially if you're one of our watchers. We want to encourage you to make effort to join the rest of your church family here in person. Also, to everybody watching as part of our video service today, we're just so thankful for you, and thanks for making room in our building for other people to come, and thanks for checking this out on video today. Today, we're in our second week of our four-week Advent series. It's a series we're calling What About Christmas? And I've titled the message, the title comes from a series we've done for many years, What About Blank? And we've often, once a year, given you room to help me write a sermon series, and you ask hard questions. You ask the stuff that you're wrestling through or struggling through. You just want to know, what's the Bible say about this? And all kinds of questions have come in for this series. We decided to make it part of our Advent calendar this year, and the four seasons or the four themes of Advent, hope, peace, love, and joy, really are answers in what God does to bring those things into the answers of your questions. And a lot of your questions really deal with, how do I have hope in hopeless times? We talked about that last week. And today, many of your questions are going to deal with, what about peace? How do I have peace with God? How do I have peace from God? How do I have peace in myself when I've got outer turmoil and inner turmoil? How many of you know there's drama out there? How many of you know there's drama in here? Come on, somebody. How many of you know there's struggles out there? And how many of you know we all have struggles in here? And the greatest need that we have is peace with God. We want peace with God with all that junk out there. And all of us, in some form or another, want to know, what does it look like to have peace with God with all the junk that's in here? How many of you know coming to Jesus don't fix everything right away? It don't just delete all your problems. It doesn't make your crazy cousins not crazy anymore. We've titled the message, What About Peace? I want to encourage you, continue to ask your questions. We're still 2 weeks left in our sermon series before our Christmas Sunday. But keep asking your questions. Tag it on Instagram, social media, hashtag What About Christmas. It's not hard to see that we live in a time where we desperately need peace. I mean, we're physically and literally living in a time of war, which is a very practical place that we need peace. But it's always been true. This has always been the condition of mankind since Genesis 3. Lack of peace entered our world. If you remember last week, I talked about the fall of man and how from there forward, it's like we're dealing with brokenness. We're dealing with sin and pain. The first family dealt with murder and cover-up and sin. And so there's a lack of peace throughout all of mankind. We need what the Apostle Paul calls the peace of God, or from God, that surpasses, blows away, is beyond understanding. I like to call it, it's peace that doesn't make sense. How do we have peace in the middle of chaos? How do we have peace in the middle of storms? How do we have peace in the middle of family issues and parenting issues and personal issues? How do we have peace when our job is in total chaos? It doesn't make sense. It's beyond understanding. You ever met somebody with that kind of peace? You go, how in the world are you calm right now? And somebody that's in Christ, sometimes they look back at you, they go, I don't know. I have peace. Peace that doesn't make sense. I don't know about you, but I think we need peace in our politics. You can amen as much as you want on this. We need peace in government. We need peace in our world. We need peace in our workplace, in our homes. We need peace in our marriages. Peace in our singleness. Peace in our married lives, peace in our families. I don't know about you, but I don't like drama. I keep finding myself in it. I don't like drama. I don't like discord. I don't like lack of peace. I want everything to be smooth and harmonious and good and fun and like moving forward. But as long, that's always good until somebody else is involved. When it's just me, it's perfect. Anybody else feel that way? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. When it's just me, it's great. Steph shows up, tension. My kids show up, more tension. I got four of them, so it's like exponential. And it's girls, so it's doubled exponential. Two becomes four. That was borderline sexist, and I didn't mean it to be that way. I was just making a joke. I don't mean that girls are more dramatic than boys, because trust me, guys can be just as dramatic as women. All right, just simmer down. Fellas, hush, don't say amen, and ladies, please don't help. But what about having peace with God? Here's the deal. If turmoil never stopped around us, what does it look like for you and me to have peace with the God of peace? What does it look like for you and me to be good and reconciled and like squared away with God and have peace with him? If you don't have peace with anybody else in this world, like Jesus didn't have peace with a lot of people around him, but he had a lot of peace with the Father. He didn't have peace with his own closest friends. I mean, Peter, his best friend, was like, oh, I'll never let you die. Jesus had to look Peter in the face and say, get behind me, Satan. That's not a peaceful relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care how close you are. If you call anybody Satan to their face, there's tension. But what does it look like if turmoil is all around, if turmoil is all within us? What does it look like to have peace with God? That's what I want to talk about today. And real peace, I think, is about knowing the Prince of Peace and the God of Peace and finding eternal peace with God, or knowing him as our source of peace. I want us to look first at Isaiah 9. It's a very famous passage for Christmas season, but it's a prophetic witness about this coming of this baby Jesus. I mean, Christmas is all about the celebration of the coming of baby Jesus, but here's the thing. It ain't a Ricky Bobby story. It's not just baby Jesus. He stays that way forever. The coming of Jesus was about the coming of God himself to be with us. And he didn't choose to come as a grown-up. He chose to come as an infant and live through the whole process of maturity. It says at one point about Jesus that he grew in stature and in favor with God and with people. He had to grow up. Like, Jesus went through puberty. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus had to go through having siblings, and Jesus had to go through having a mom say, go to bed, Jesus, I'm tired of telling you. But the coming of this Christ is about the coming of God to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us, right? So here's what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, this prophetic witness told hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus. He says, to us, that's us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And all the government shall be upon his shoulders. In other words, he runs everything. He's got all power and all dominion, all control. And his name shall be called, look what he describes as Emmanuel, Christ with us, God with us, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. This is really powerful language for them to say about this baby. A child is coming, and we're going to call him Mighty God. I don't know about you, but like, I don't know if you know this or not, but the story of God is that he's eternal, he's unborn, yet a child is coming to be born, and we're going to call him God. That's the story of Emmanuel, God coming with us. Everlasting Father, this baby's going to be our everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government, his reign and his rule, and of the increase of his peace, there shall be no end. So why do we struggle with peace when it says that the increase of Jesus' peace shall be no end? Why does it seem like we've got eternal peace, but we have temporal drama, and we have temporal struggle, and we have temporal issues? We have struggle on the inside, because it says of the increase of his peace, right? Here's the thing. There's two subjects here, but it's of the increase of his government, of the increase of his peace. There will be no end. So how do we get to a place where we're increasing in the peace of and from God? In the original Greek, in Greek language, which this was not written in Greek, in Isaiah, but we have this dative case where you have of or from kind of interchangeably. And I think it's not only the peace of God, the peace that matures out of his essence, but it's also the peace from God. It's that peace that just comes out of his essence. How do we grow, and why is that not increasing in us? Anybody else wonder that besides me? Because this is a prophetic promise about this coming baby, this coming Christ with us. It's loaded with so much promise. He'd come to be the Son of God. He carries all authority. He's our Wonderful Counselor. There's nothing in your life that he cannot and will not see you through and bring you through. He is the Mighty God. Jesus doesn't only come as a baby, but he comes as God in baby clothes. Jesus lived, and he would die and resurrect as the God of eternity. One of the greatest struggles with people from other faiths, especially Islam, is this thought that God would die. That's not our thing to control. That was God's choice to do, and he did it for us. But he came to live and he came to die and he came to resurrect as the God of eternity. And he was born as God. He is everlasting, eternal, almighty. He's your mighty counselor, your wonderful counselor. And look, the coming of Jesus is the coming of peace. The Prince of Peace, peace with God. Now listen to this, peace with God only comes from God and it's through Jesus. Let me say it one more time. Peace with God only comes from God. You can't fix yourself enough for God to be like, okay, now we're good. You're never gonna fix yourself enough. God says, the peace that you need with me is gonna come from me through him, not through you. So peace from God, peace with God, only comes from God, but it's through this coming of Jesus Christ and our faith in him. You wanna have peace with God, get closer to Jesus. You wanna have congruence with your relationship with God, get closer to Christ. Peace with God comes from him, not from you. You can't earn it, you can't get better enough. Now we're called to get better. We're called to improve and become more like him. But listen, to have peace with God, which many of your questions came in because you're struggling with what does God think of my issues? What does God think of my shame? What's he think of my baggage? What's he think of my sexuality? What does he think of my grief? What does he think of my divorce? What's he think of my adultery, my fornication? What does God think of my mental state? What's God think about will I go to heaven or hell if I'm in counseling, if I'm gay, if I'm divorced and remarried? You guys are struggling with inner peace with God because of shame and turmoil and drama on the inside. Let me tell you something. You'll always struggle with it if you think peace with God is dependent on your effort. Peace with God comes from God through Jesus. This is why we attach ourselves to Jesus. And of his peace, there's no end. Like it just keeps going. You make a mistake and God goes, I still have peace with you because you believe in, because you're following Jesus. You believe in Christ. You go, God, I blew it again. He's like, it's cool. Don't do it again. Come with me. Come on. We're at peace. There's no threshold where God's like, I cannot believe you freaking did it again. 48 times. What's wrong with you? You know, there's no point where God goes, I'm done with you. Now we're at war again. Peace with God comes from God through Jesus. And you attach yourself to him. That's where we're going to end today. So that's some great theology. We can all amen that, right? But how do we live that out? Because it's one thing to know about God and to know what's true. And I just said some great theology, y'all. That was good stuff. I don't care what you said. But how do we live that out? How do we connect to that peace? I don't know about you, but I hate drama. I hate turmoil. I hate this feeling that I'm unsettled with people and with God. But he said his peace will have no end. So how do we find it? How do we get ourselves into that place of peace? How do we live with that peace? How do we not only understand it, but how do we live in it? Particularly a peace that doesn't make sense. It's beyond understanding. How do we live in God's peace when there's unrest everywhere? In relationships, in culture, world events, war, mass shootings, drama. How do we know peace and live at peace when pain is everywhere? And based on many of your questions, how do we have internal peace? Knowing that we have real struggles on the inside, dysfunction, sin issues, grief, regret, shame. How do we come to know this Prince of Peace when we can't see past our own dysfunction? Is this relevant to anybody's life, or should I just shut it down and we'll go home and drink some wassail? Wassail, wassail. Some of you know those songs. Well, many of your questions came in dealing with peace issues. You asked about life after an affair. How can God forgive me when I cheated? You asked about divorce and remarriage. You asked about mental health. You asked, what about dealing with difficult and toxic friends or family? You asked a lot of questions about sex. Fortunately, no how-tos, but you asked a lot of questions about how you are doing with your own sex and sexuality. You ask about sex, sexuality, particularly two things. People asking about sex outside of marriage and homosexuality came in a lot. Will my gay kid go to hell or not? Or how can God love me who struggles with homosexual feelings? So I'm just gonna go through the list one by one. I'm gonna say yes or no, heaven or hell to all of them, okay? Number one. I'm just kidding. I would never do that here. I would never do that here. Okay, so I want to say thanks again for the easy questions. You guys are just like, I was hoping you'd go, what's your favorite Bible verse? You know, like, what about, you know, simple stuff. No, thank you. It's good for me as a pastor to know that this is the real stuff in our church. I don't want to talk, you know, when we go through a Book of Romans series, for example, like we talk way up here and we're doing theology, but you guys are struggling with other things and it's good to take a break and come away and go, what's going on? That's how Jesus actually pastored. You just sit around with crowds and go, what's up with you? What's going on in your world? And then you go, oh, let me say something really smart and drop some truth bombs on your life. First thing we have to understand is Jesus brings peace in the external. Now listen, I know this is hard to think about sometimes because it's easier to go drama. It's easier to social media post about the stuff in your life and the external struggles that you have around you. But here's the deal. There's so much in our culture, in our world, on the news, on the internet, at school, at work, in relationships, hanging with family. There's so much going on out there that is great and healthy and wonderful and good. Can I hear an amen? Like sometimes we just focus on the negative and the bad, but the reality is like 98% of things going on are pretty good. Most families just want to provide, most parents just want to provide for their families and be safe at night and like go to sleep in their own beds. Like most of the world, there's some good stuff going on. But how many of you found like the 5% of just junk in the world is what tends to take our attention and our focus? So much good is happening out there, but there's also a lot out there that's causing fear and stress and pressure. Some very real realities for us, like war. We're an army town, so we feel the pressure of that. Politics, social media drama. How does Jesus give us peace in toxic relationships? How does Jesus give us peace when we're at war? How does Jesus bring us peace when CNN and Fox News create so much stress? Honestly, these are great questions, and I'm not sure there's a helpful answer outside of Jesus. Here's what I've kind of discerned in my 38 years of maturation. No politician has ever fixed the social ills of our country. No president's changed the hearts of men that's still divided. Here we are after hundreds of years of presidents and governors and political figures, and we're more divided, as many people would say, we're more divided as a nation as we've been in years, in decades. We're in the longest war of our history. I mean, it's just crazy for me to think that we really believe that if I get my guy elected or my gal elected or my party in office, then it'll settle all that. Listen to me. Jesus said it like this. It was this great conversation he had with Pilate, who was the governing authority at the time of his crucifixion. And Pilate asked him, he's like, they say you're a king. I don't know why Pilate talks like that in my head. He's like an angry New Yorker. So they say you're a king, Jesus. You know, like, he doesn't talk like that. It was real like Greek and Aramaic. All right. So they say you're a king. Jesus is like, well. He just kind of blows him off, to be honest with you. I love it. He said, well, what do you say about that? And then Jesus says in John 18:36, he goes, my kingdom's not of this world. Can I just say that's one of the most profound statements in your whole Bible? The kingdom of God is not this world. Some of us are like, I can't wait for heaven one day, but in the meantime, I'm in this world, this kingdom, and it's so powerful, it's so dramatic, so stressful. You belong to another kingdom. It's not of this world. This is for now. This is not forever. This is temporary. Jesus said, my kingdom, where I reign, the things I rule over, it's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then guess what? My servants would be out here kicking your tail. Some of you are wondering, where's the armies of God coming on all this sin and debauchery and pain? God's like, you're looking at the wrong kingdom. If this were my kingdom, you better know I'd rule this place. I'd be closing shops and running house. But he's like, my kingdom's not of this world. If it were of this world, my servants would be here fighting that I might be delivered over to the Jews. I might not be delivered over. Jesus is like, you think these guys really threaten me? I got to do this. But look, my kingdom is not of this world. Now look, in the immediate context, he's talking to Pilate, and it's right before his crucifixion, and there's something, I think this exchange with Pilate is so powerful, right? Like he's just going, you guys don't threaten me. Pilate's literally going, I have the power of your life and death in my hands. Jesus is like, no, you don't. And can I just tell all of you that struggle with peace about what's happening in this world? That has no power over you if you belong to Jesus. God's kingdom is not this world system. Some of us struggle with that. We go, God, where are you? Why aren't you showing up? Why don't you come in here and just kick tail around everything? One of the greatest realities for a follower of Jesus is to remember that this world is not all there is. We're passing through, and what's happening on the news isn't all that's happening. The drama with your family doesn't have to be the only story you live out this Christmas. There's a really cool story this week, and I think it's a spiritual thing. I got a call from a member of our church, a text rather, and she's a business owner. She and her husband have a business downtown, and all their Christmas decorations got stolen off their building like a couple days ago. I know all of you are like, oh, how dare they? It's great. I love that. I'll say this. So she texts me. She's like, the news is coming. This is the second year in a row they've stolen our decorations. And she's hot. She's mad. She's like, what do I say, Pastor? I don't want to say anything stupid. I love that. And so I say, hey, well, just be generous and gracious and say, hey, I pray God forgive them, and we forgive them, and we pray the blessing on them, and we'll get them new stuff, and this is terrible. I said, don't get all toxic and vengeful. And, you know, they're like, are you for real right now? I'm like, yeah, Christian high road, you know, like, and so, look, I said, pray for that person. It was on video. Like, it's on video. They didn't even cover their face on video. Just rolled up, almost looking at the camera, like, what you gonna do, sucker? You know, like, stole all this stuff, hundreds of dollars worth of decorations. And I remember getting off that text conversation, just praying. I was like, God, convict that person who stole and let it all come back to these couples and teach them, like, how to walk in grace when pain occurs. And I'm preaching on peace this Sunday, God, so this is cool. All right. Before the news story even aired, they brought the stuff and put it back on the porch. Now look, watch, this is powerful. This just happened 3 days ago, right? And I texted back, they sent me a photo, because I missed the news story. They sent me a photo, like, all the stuff showed up like 30 minutes before the news even aired. And I said, that's a kingdom of God move. God got involved there because we prayed for that. And I'm telling you, this world is not all there is. This world is just temporary, stealing Christmas presents, Christmas decorations. Like, that's just a this world problem, but we're kingdom of God people. You know what it did? It proved the God of peace in a moment of turmoil. And how much greater is it that we can realize that we serve the Lord who is the Prince of Peace, the King of this universe, and we belong to Him, which means we have a better narrative. It's like I talked about last week. We're physically present here, but we're sons and daughters of God. And we can learn to shake the things off that aren't of God. Like the great prophetess Taylor Swift said, shake it off. Shake it off. Woo-hoo-hoo. Know who He says we are. Listen, know who God says you are in the midst of all this chaos. Like, sometimes we just need to step back and take a breath. We've all lived through pain, death, and despair. I did a funeral last week, a sudden funeral for a young woman to die in her 40s. My family, we've lost a child in a miscarriage. I mean, we deal with pain, but this world is not all there is. We belong to the God who says, I'm your father, you're my son, you're my daughter. I'm truly His, I'm not this world's. To live this life is to live for Jesus. Even to die from this life is to live with Jesus. So how do we deal with external pain? Sometimes we gotta just pull back and go, okay, there's a greater kingdom at play here. Second, Jesus is gonna bring us internal peace. Now this is where I wanna kinda deal with some of your questions, but I'm not gonna sit here and just go one by one answering them, because I think the scripture would do a lot of good for you, and if you need counsel, we'll be glad to offer that as well. But some of you ask some hard questions about personal struggles you're going through. You ask about homosexual temptation or relationships. You ask about what about life after an affair, living together while we're not married. Questions about depression. What do I think about counseling? It's one thing to realize there's a tension out there, right? But it's another thing to realize there's tension in here. Tension out there, you cut ties, walk away, break up. You can delete them off your social media, whatever. But you just can't cut ties with what's happening on the inside. You can't cut ties with the pain and the struggle of what's happening on the inside of us. So we believe that Jesus is Lord and we're saved and we're going to heaven and He's dealing with all of our outside pressure. But what do we do? How do we have Christ coming alive and bringing peace on the internal stuff? I'm struggling with my marriage. I'm struggling with my confidence. I'm depressed. I got issues with my personal life. Now this statement may hurt some of your feelings. Don't you love when I start a paragraph with this? This statement may hurt some of your feelings. But listen to me, at the risk of frustrating or even offending you, I want to be your pastor for just a moment. I know that I am, like, all the time. But with what I'm about to tell you, I want you to give me the grace to be your pastor and say something. Psalm 23, when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to still waters. What I'm trying to do right now is I want to put you in some greener pastures, and I want to lead you to some stiller waters about some internal struggle that you have. That's the job of a pastor. So you can take that, everybody? I love you. Listen, many of us believe that we'll have peace with God if we can get him to sterilize our brokenness. That is, we think if we can just get God to be okay with what we struggle with, if we can just get God to bend on some of those old time views, if we can just get God to put his bless on our mess, then we'll have peace. That's just not the way God works. See, he reigns, we don't. He's God, we're not. And I don't care how much culture changes, God is the same back then, he's the same today, he's the same forever. Now let me say this as lovingly as possible. Peace does not come from begging God to sterilize our brokenness. Peace will come when we surrender our mess to him, when we commit to living his will instead of our will, when we live the culture of the kingdom instead of the culture of this world. There is a powerful exchange of peace when we choose submission to God's ways, God's will, and God's word, and just humbly acknowledge that there is a peace with God when we surrender ourselves to him. Peace with God is not him sterilizing your brokenness, it's giving him your brokenness. Peace with God is not him blessing your mess, it's surrendering your mess to him. Now listen, that's not a popular statement. Our culture wars against what I just said. I'm telling you, that is not an easy thing to hear. But God is timeless, and what he expects of his people is timeless. And it doesn't matter what culture says. God is not in the business of just turning a blind eye to your dysfunction. He's in the business of healing it and fixing it and seeing you surrender through it. I've given up my rights to personal opinion. People ask me, what do you think about blank and blank and blank? I go, it doesn't matter what I think. I surrender to Jesus, so I do. I believe what he thinks. Do I agree with everything Jesus said? Sometimes I'm like, Jesus, can you just back off of that a little bit? But I don't get the right to do that because I'm not Lord. His government shall be no end. His peace shall be no end. I mean, I need to submit myself to his leadership and reign. I've given up my personal rights to opinions. I've given up my right to live by my own feelings, fitting into our culture, or trying to make peace with my own self. Can I just tell you, all of you are broken. All of you are born into sin. All of you have issues. And if you think you'll have peace when you get God to finally be okay with your issues, you're backwards here. You'll have peace when you surrender your issues to God. God is completely other than us. And in almost every area of your struggles that you asked about on your questions with peace, it's because we want it our way instead of his way. We keep saying, God, you made me this way. I was born this way. I was raised this way. God, this is my struggle. This is where I work. I can't change my circumstance. And we go, God, just be okay with it. And honestly, that is the most man-centered approach to God ever. And frankly, even churches are heading that way. But we will not do that. We're going to let God reign in this church. We're going to let God be the leader of our hearts. It seems from your questions that relationships and sexuality tend to constantly be areas of our lives that disturb our peace. Why? Because we make mistakes in relationships, and they're to mirror the relationship between Christ and the church. We don't have a culture that values what Scripture describes or that values fidelity and patience and abstinence or Christ-centeredness when it comes to sex, sexuality, or relationships. Culture and personal feelings will always direct you away from God's way. But as your questions have indicated, there's no peace there. There's no peace with God there. God's plan for sex is in marriage. I like to say it like this. If you're not married, don't do it. If you are married, get to work. Now listen, this is not culturally congruent, and I understand that. And there's some people that are really struggling with what I'm saying right now. Now I want to have some grace with that, and I want you to have some grace with me. I'm just teaching the Bible here. God's design for sex is within the confines of marriage. He describes marriage. God designed it and defines it according to the Scripture, but between a mature, monogamous male and female for life. But we have brokenness all over that. We've got immature people getting married. We've got people having sex before they're married. We got divorce and remarriage, infidelity, adultery. We got people stuck on porn. We got every kind of thing that breaks the image of what God said originally. I didn't write that, but God's word did. And our culture says everything else is an option. But listen, our world needs Jesus more than it needs itself. So how do we find peace with God when we don't match what God's word says? That's where surrender comes in. That's where submission comes in. Any one of you that have kids that are strong-willed know that if you can get that kid to just back off and just chill and listen to you as a parent, it's better for them. It's better for them. They may fight you on the front and be like, oh, you know, Dad, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. You're like, okay, I'm going to have it my way because I'm grown and I'm bigger than you. And when they finally submit, what happens? Peace comes in the house again. Some of us are just warring with God over, and listen, all of your struggles are legitimate. And I want you to hear this. I validate your struggle. But even more than I validate your struggle, I want to encourage your surrender. If you want to overcome your lack of peace, submit to God. Don't ask God to submit to you. Jesus said in John 14, he said, these things I've spoken to you while I'm with you, but listen, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he's going to teach you all things, and he's going to bring to your remembrance everything I've said to you. Part of the life of a Christ follower is a life in the Spirit, and letting the Holy Spirit be your helper, your comforter, your teacher, your guide. I don't know what you're going through or what areas of struggle you have in your life. Some of you were probably hoping that I'll just give clear answers about heaven and hell with your issues. Am I going to hell if I go to counseling? But the Bible's clear enough about that stuff. And you go do your own study. But listen, I want to encourage you, will you decide if you're willing to surrender those areas of struggle and let Jesus bring peace from God? Now let me say again for the record, I don't care what you're struggling through, you're welcome here at this church. No matter what you're struggling with, listen to me. Keep struggling and keep surrendering and keep submitting to God. You're welcome at this church to struggle like all the rest of us. Some of your struggle may be a little bit more pronounced. Some of your struggle may be a little bit more noticeable, but we are all struggling with something. Can I get an amen from everybody that's struggling? Don't give in to the wrong side of the struggle. Keep surrendering. Keep struggling your whole life and let the peace of God come in your surrender. Come on, finally, I want to say we need to have peace of God. Oh, wait, did I skip that scripture? What? It ain't him. Oh, yep, that's the next part. That's right. That's why it makes more sense. Hello. Peace I leave you. Look what he said. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives it. Listen, I don't care what the culture says. It doesn't bring peace. Peace from God comes, peace with God comes from God through Jesus. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives it, I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. How does that happen? Surrender to Jesus. Submission. It's crazy to think that we freely walk into bondage and submission, but that's where peace is. Finally, I want us to have peace in the presence of God. Peace in the presence of God. Have you ever been on a plane in turbulence? Boy, won't that tighten your drawers and everything else on you? You know what I'm saying? Like, I love to fly. I would fly to work if I could. I don't like road trips. I'm a big guy, usually in small compartments. You know what I'm saying? So I would always rather fly. But I like smooth flying. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like smooth takeoffs and smooth landings. I like when they come down real smooth and everybody claps. You ever been on a plane where they do that? Like, the pilot's not even impressed with it. You're impressed with him. But I remember, like, turbulent, fast swings and drops, and that stuff rattles me, man. When the whole plane goes, oh, man. I remember flying to New Orleans one time with Stephanie for Christmas, and we were in a turbulent flight, and I remember it would, like, drop. It felt like 15 feet at a time, just, you know, and then some of you pilots are like weeks off, you know, I'm a weakling over here, but whatever, I have other issues, you know what I'm saying? When that seatbelt light comes on, I get real uptight, I sit up straight, I start looking around, and I start thinking, like, what would I do? The plane goes down, the pilot's like, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if they start freaking out, we're going down, I start thinking about stuff about my family, I go, is my insurance paid up, you know what I'm saying? And I literally start going all the way, I start thinking things like this. When do I get a signal? I'm going to turn my airplane mode off so I can text my wife and go, I love you, babe. I'm sorry. I miss you. I love you. Don't marry again for 5 years. Keep my picture up on the house. You know, like, I start thinking through the things I would say as I'm going down. And then I think, could I jump when the plane hit the ground and survive? You know what I'm saying? Then I've literally thought this before. If we go down on a mountain and I got to eat somebody, who am I going to eat? You know, I survived. Everyone else is dead. I'm like, I'm going after that guy right there. Y'all know your brain goes to some crazy places when you're kind of anxious. But you know, when I'm in turbulence, after I get through all those crazy thoughts and I pull out hot sauce packets, I start looking around the plane at other business travelers. You know the type, in their business pants and their shirt with the loose tie because they're not ready for the meeting and the jacket's up top. And they're still cranking out their Wall Street Journal. And I watch them, the people that travel all the time. And I start seeing if they are not getting rattled, I'm not going to get rattled. If they're used to this, if this is no, I watch the flight attendants and they're like, oh, this is great. Do you need anything? Oh! And if they're still smiling, then I find peace. There's something about the calm of the regular passengers that brings me peace in turbulent times. And there's a story with Jesus and his disciples taking a trip by boat on the Galilee Sea. And all of a sudden there was a storm so big and so violent, putting water in their boat. And the disciples were literally afraid they would drown, capsize, and die. And Jesus was sitting at the front of that boat, dead asleep. And they finally rattle him to wake. They rattle him up. And they go, Jesus, don't you care? We're dying. And he gets up in the boat and he's like, ugh. Stop it. Peace. Be still. And I wonder if he's like kind of in that, peace, be still, my gosh. You know, like he was so into sleep, he didn't notice the turbulence of life, of that storm. And then his disciples look at him and they're like, didn't you care? We're perishing. And Jesus has to remind them. Actually, he rebuked them. And he says, he rebuked the wind and the sea. And then he says, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And then he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And what's he asking them? Not in him in general, but do you not have faith that I'm here? Like I'm with you in this boat. I wonder if Jesus could have been like sidelined. Don't write this down, John. If he would have been like, or Mark, do you really think I'm going out in a boat crash? I came to die on a cross. I didn't come to flood out and drown out. You know what I'm saying? Plus, I can walk on all this. Okay, Mark, get your pen. Where's your faith? Some of us, if we're honest, we live in fear. We live in no peace. We live in constant worry because the same reality that Jesus' disciples had. Even though Jesus was in their boat, they didn't have enough faith in him to handle their problem. He was right there with them, and he was asleep so peacefully in the middle of it. But even with him right there sleeping, they didn't look at that other passenger. They didn't see him during the plane turbulence. They didn't have faith in his presence or his power to settle their storm. That's what happens to us. We forget about the God who lives in us. We lose sight of the Holy Spirit who resides in us and has empowered us to live this life. And we can't seem to keep his presence at the forefront of our confidence. And it will absolutely rob us of peace. For some of us, our lack of peace is because we don't have faith in Jesus. For some of us, our lack of peace is because we forget that he is right here with us all the time. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave my children wanting for bread. I'm always going to go with you to the very end of the age. Some of us have lost sight of the fact that we belong to Jesus. And he came to be the Prince of Peace in your life. His peace will know no end. We lose sight of the fact that he's right here with us in our struggle, in our internal struggle, in our external struggle. He's always in our boat. Some of us need to look to that passenger and go, man, you are chilling over there sleeping with peace. I want Jesus' peace. There's something so settling, remembering that Jesus promised his presence to be with us forever. Psalm 46:1 says, he is our refuge and strength and a very what? Present help. This is the greatest present you'll get at Christmas, is him being present with you. That's the greatest present you ever got, is his presence. A very present help in time of trouble. I will not fear, though the earth give way, though nothing goes my way, internally or externally. Why? Because of his peace, there will be no end. Can we just stand together and let me just challenge you with a couple things? Have y'all got anything out of this message today? Come on. Praise the Lord. Here's how his presence happens. How do we get into his presence? How do we get back and know that Jesus is in our boat? How do we know that he's present with us and we're present with him? And I got to tell you, this seems so practical and so duh, like we've been saying it for a while, but I want to challenge every one of you to re-engage the presence of Jesus. Re-engage the presence of the Holy Spirit. Get in the Bible. Read your word. Get into his will. Get into prayer. Listen, if you don't have peace, you don't have presence. That's your greatest challenge, is you don't have presence. Because listen, when you walk out of your prayer closet, when you get out of the word of God, all of a sudden you have a confidence that says he's with me, he's for me, he's ahead of me, he's behind me, and I can walk through this world and these struggles and know that Jesus is with me all the time. So we got to get back into his word, get back into his will, and we need to be a part of his family. Read your Bible. Spend time in prayer. Fast. Worship God. Belong to his church in every way that you can. His word tells us his heart for you. His word shows us his plans for you. His word gives us his will for your life. Many of us are lacking peace because we don't know his will. We don't know his presence. We don't know his ways. And we keep bumping up against it by conviction of the Holy Spirit with how we live, how we believe, our politics, our lifestyle. Remember what I said earlier. We think peace is God getting, is us getting God to sterilize what we're doing. God, will you just be okay with this? Then I'll have peace. God's peace will come as you yield to what he desires for you. And you're going to learn that in his presence, in his word, in the prayer closet, and in his family. This is why we think it's important that you go to church, that you be in small groups, in a life group. This is why we offer growth tracks so you can get on teams and be a part of his family at deeper levels. So important for us. Join us in the fast. Go to growth track today. Reconnect to the body of Christ. We want to walk you through those connection points so you can connect to his body. Learn how to study his word. Learn how to pray. I challenge you today. If you want peace this Christmas, it's one of the gifts of God. It's one of the reasons Christ came. Surrender to Jesus every area of your life. Don't ask God to bless your mess. Surrender your mess to him. Peace will come in surrender. I promise. I know it's counterintuitive in a fighting, scrappy, dog-eat-dog kind of culture, but peace comes in surrender. Peace will come in his presence. Peace will come from his word and his will, knowing his heart and walking in his ways. This week, consider the areas of your life that rob your peace. Just think about it right now. Some of you have some real areas. Maybe they're external. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe whatever. Some of you have some real internal areas that have robbed your peace. And I want to ask you to commit to invite Jesus into those areas of your life. Commit to remove yourself from areas that rob your peace and commit to surrender the internal areas of your life where you struggle. Does this resonate with anybody else in here? All right, so for external struggles, some of you may have to cut off relationships and just submit those things to God. You know, there's a place for that in Scripture. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 18. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians. He said, try and try a second time, maybe a third time, then cut them off. It's better to do life without them than to do life in drama. Boy, that'll tweet right there. Hallelujah. It's better to do life without you than to do life in drama with you. But for the areas of internal struggle, consider this question. And then an action step. What does it look like for Jesus to reign in this area of my struggle? And then what am I willing to surrender that? Am I willing to not have that, not engage that, not embrace that? And then listen, get help. Call a pastor, call a counselor, call a Christian friend, call a spiritual mother or father. Share that with somebody, get accountability, get prayer, get help. You and I are not meant to do this Christian life alone. So get help. Get involved, get connected, and let God bring you peace. I know I went long. I appreciate it. We got to get you out of here. Have you been blessed today, LifePoint Church? Challenge in the Word. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Thank you for changing us, Lord God. We absolutely resist the temptation to beg you and to make you try to sterilize our pain. God, we surrender our mess to you today, Lord God. We surrender bad relationships and toxic parts of our lives to you, God. We surrender them to you. It's better, God, for us to have peace in a home than to have everything there is with discord. God, we want the peace of God that surpasses understanding. Lord, would you bring healing? Would you bring restoration and clarity? God, would you help us surrender to the Holy Spirit of God in Jesus' name? We love you so much. Church, can we just sing this song to the Lord as we close out together? Come